He is risen.
He is
risen. I wanted to do that too. I like that part. So on Monday, the 856-year-old Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris was consumed by fire, and people all over the globe, they were consumed with fear. They were afraid that we were going to lose the iconic rose windows. Anyone ever seen those in person? Those, oh, they're so beautiful. They were afraid they were going to lose the magnificent organ and the magnificent bells. You know the bells, right? Quasimodo used to ring those bells. You ever see that Disney cartoon? It's a good one. Our Catholic friends, they had some religious relics in there that they were really afraid they were going to lose, including what they believed to be a splinter of the true cross and a nail from the wounds of Christ's hands or feet. They were afraid. Father Jean-Marc Fournier, the chaplain of the Paris Fire Brigade, he put aside his own fear. I don't know if you've read this story, but he ran into the burning cathedral so that he could grab the crown of thorns that some people believe was the crown of thorns that they put on the head of Jesus as they crucified him before Easter. Now, when these treasures were rescued, and when they finally extinguished the fire, what the firefighters found was beautiful. Amidst all that smoke and amidst all that ash and dirt, there was the cross on the altar, and it was still standing, and it was still shining in the darkness and the dust and the ash. A beautiful symbol as we get ready for Easter, that the purposes of God are forever. Now, France prides itself on being a secular country. This sentiment goes back to the French Revolution when Christianity was evicted from the churches. Notre Dame itself, the great Notre Dame Cathedral, for a number of years was turned into a temple of reason where atheism was preached from the pulpit for a number of years. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit were replaced with liberty and equality and fraternity. And yet, when Notre Dame was burning, what did we see the people of Paris in the street do? They fell to their knees and they prayed for God to save something that was precious and dear to them. Without even looking at hymn books, they sang the old Christian hymns. When there's a real crisis, when there's a real tragedy, suddenly we are reminded that only the perfect love of God is capable of casting out our fear. Now, everything made by human hands will one day crumble into dust. Only God makes things that last forever. And this is good news, because God made you. God designed you for eternal life. The good news, today we celebrate that Christ is risen.
He is risen.
Nice, I'm glad you're paying attention. And with that comes a promise that you too can be part of the resurrection and the life if you put your faith in God's own Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Today, we are going to look at 1 John 4:16 through 18 to help us understand the Easter story that was read for us just a moment ago. It'll help us understand that in a different way. So let's hear from 1 John 4:16 through 18 this good news that the resurrection, that the Easter story, it impacts your eternal life too. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how we know love is made complete among us, that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. God's word. I always tell people that they know more Greek than they realize. For instance, in today's scripture, we find a word that we already know in the English language. It's the word in Greek for fear, phobia. You know this word, right? You can stick phobia on the end of just about any word in the English language, and you could diagnose what it is that you got going on in your life. Are you scared of closets? You got claustrophobia. Are you scared of spiders? Ooh, you got arachnophobia. We like to stick that word on the end of things. It sounds really impressive. Now, the word phobia, it shows up four times. This really caught my attention. I was studying the Easter story this year. I was going, oh, it really caught my attention. Phobia, four times in today's story. That's interesting. The first one happens in Matthew 28, verse 4. This is what we hear. It says, the guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. Now, they just survived a great earthquake. So maybe, if we're going to diagnose these guards, maybe they had seismophobia. That's a fear of earthquakes. And then the angel that they saw, it looked like lightning. Maybe they had astrophobia, the fear of lightning, which is the number four fear in the United States of America, astrophobia. But my best guess, my best armchair diagnosis, my pulpit diagnosis, if you will, this morning, is that they had thanatophobia. Anyone? I'd be really impressed if you knew this one. Thanatophobia? It's the fear of death. Have you heard of Thanos? Same word. Thanatophobia. The big, tough, burly guards, they fainted dead away when they witnessed God's power on display. Now, we know that the guards were not literally scared to death, although it kind of sounds like that in today's scripture. We know that because just a few verses later, these guards show up back in the story, and they're lying about what happened on Easter Sunday, what happened at the empty tomb. So we know they didn't actually die from fear. But I think it's kind of an ironic thing that we discover in Matthew's version of the gospel. I don't know if you've ever noticed this before, but so the guards, they're living men sent to guard a corpse, right? But when Jesus comes back alive, the guards faint away like dead men. I love the irony in the Easter story. We think we know the difference between living and dying, but the Easter story, it pokes us and it prods us and says, do you really know the difference between living and dying? Jesus is going to redefine the difference between living and dying in a way that gives hope, even when death comes too soon, even when we lose someone we didn't want to lose. Now, fear is a gift from God. I know that sounds odd, but fear is a gift from God. God gave us fear. Why? In order to preserve our lives. It is fear that makes us seek shelter when we hear thunder and we see lightning, so we don't die. It is fear that makes us run away when we see a rattlesnake in eastern Washington in front of our path. You run from the rattlesnake. It is fear that makes you look both ways before you cross the street. Fear preserves your life. Fear is a good thing until it's a bad thing. And fear can become a really bad thing. Anxiety can be oppressive. Our desperate attempts to preserve our own lives can backfire until life isn't worth living because we've added so much anxiety and worry as we try to control our world. Jesus confronts this desire that we have to control everything, to get rid of all of our problems, when he says this, whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. He said that right before he went to the cross. And he proved the meaning of it by rising from the dead. Now, there's only one thing that could have kept those guards from fainting dead away on Easter Sunday. There's only one thing that could have kept them on their feet when all this scary stuff was going on. on Easter Sunday, and that is the love of God. If only they could have seen that the angel and the earthquake and the empty tomb were proof that God is love. God loved the world so much that he gave his only son, Jesus, to die on the cross to save us from our sins. And God loves his son so much that he raised him from the tomb, would not let him stay dead in that tomb. And God loves you so much. God loves you so much that he wants to redeem your life from the grave, from the pit. God wants you to live with him in his perfect love forever. This is the perfect love of God that 1 John describes as perfect love that drives out fear. The promise of eternal salvation means we are no longer defined by all our phobias, all our fears, all our daily problems. This perfect love of God gives us a divine point of view that changes everything in our lives. Now, the guards were not the only ones who were trembling at the empty tomb. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were also quite scared. If you look at Matthew 28, 5 through 6, the angel of the Lord says to Mary and her friend Mary, makes it really easy to remember, the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen." Nice. Good job. "Just as he said." Now, everyone knew that Jesus said he was going to come back from the grave in 3 days. Everyone knew it. The religious leaders knew it. That's why they posted guards at the tomb, to make sure that they could keep an eye on the situation. That's why the guards are at the tomb in the first place. The disciples knew that Jesus had promised to come back in 3 days, and that's why they're hiding in their shame, in their embarrassment, because they ditched Jesus when he was going to the cross. The women knew about this promise, and that's why they boldly showed up at the tomb. They showed up in hope. They showed up in faith. They showed up because they wanted to see Jesus come back. They wanted to see Jesus rise from the grave. Their faith was bigger than their fear. But that doesn't mean that they didn't tremble. It doesn't mean that they weren't scared. Matthew 28:8 says, "So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy." Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, they were courageous, and yet their joy was mixed with terror. Some of this is just natural, right? Earthquakes are scary. Have you ever been in an earthquake? It doesn't matter how rational you are. When the earth moves under your feet, you get nervous. And some of this is simply supernatural. There is nothing in your life that prepares you for your loved one stepping out of her or his tomb, right? We have not seen that. We're not prepared for that reality when it actually comes to us. Believing in Christ's victory over death doesn't resolve all of our fears, but it does give us a different perspective, a heavenly perspective, a divine perspective on all our daily problems. But what about today's scripture, right, from 1 John 4, where it says, there is no fear in love, right? Where it says, the one who fears is not made perfect in love. John is not suggesting that if you believe in Jesus, that you're never going to fear again. That doesn't make sense. People who believe in Jesus still need to look both ways before they cross the street. Some fear is very, very important. What John is talking about is we no longer need to fear God. We don't need to fear the anger of God. We don't need to fear the judgment of God, because once we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we know that we are covered, that our sins, that our fears, that all the dark and yucky stuff in our life, that doesn't define us. Our heavenly destination, that defines us. Our eternal life, that defines us. The fact that God created you to last forever, that is what defines us. That's the perfect love of God. And once we come to know that we don't need to fear God, we understand, finally, God is love. And this whole Easter story is about being accepted in the love of God. Mary and Mary, as they were running away from the tomb, they found the risen Jesus and they fell on their knees and they hugged him and they worshiped Jesus as the Son of God, and their fears melted away when they saw Jesus for themselves. Jesus' first word when he steps out of the tomb, according to Jesus, greetings. That's biblical for hi. Totally puts him at ease. Hi. I know it doesn't sound terribly impressive, but hi. Isn't that so human? So real. And then Jesus, he actually gives him a little sermon. It's a sermon for them, and it's a sermon for you, and it's a sermon for me. Jesus told them in Matthew 28:10, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers in to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. The women left the graveyard, the scary graveyard, to go spread the happy news that we no longer need to live our days in fear, that Jesus has saved us from our sins, that Jesus has saved us from death itself, if only we put our faith in him. Now, right before I preached the first sermon at the first service this morning, someone mentioned to me what happened today in Sri Lanka. I don't know if you've looked at the news yet. I was pretty busy, as you might imagine, as I was coming here this morning. But maybe you were too. But in case you haven't heard, that there was a coordinated bombing attack in churches and hotels in Sri Lanka, and at least 207 people were murdered on Easter Sunday. We don't know who caused the bombings, but we know who the targets were. They were targeted because of their Christian faith. And so we grieve that our sisters and brothers in Christ were murdered because of their faith, and yet we believe that our sisters and brothers in Christ will conquer the grave because of their faith. In the words of St. Paul, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? These are our beloved Christian brothers and sisters. They built their hope on this resurrection story. That is the hope today. Bombs or no bombs, we believe that they are destined for eternity. Now, what are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? Jesus, he never promised to take away your fear of elevators, and he never promised to take away your fear of spiders. But Jesus and the gospel, this good news, it promises to take away your fear of moral failure, of always getting things wrong. And what's more, it takes away your mortal fear that someday you are going to die and everyone you love is going to die, because you were created to last forever. God created you to last forever. And if you put your faith in Jesus Christ, we believe that this changes who you are right now. It makes you a person of love in this world and in the next, changed by that good news, transformed by that good news. Only by living in God can we ever discover this perfect love that drives out our fears. If you would like to be set free from fear this morning, I invite you silently to pray after me. loving God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for the Easter miracle. We thank you for sending your Son, Jesus, to save us from our sins. Take away all my fears. Take away all my sins. Rescue me from the grave. Teach me how to live in love. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.